welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livionier. Coming up in this hour, Broadway. Later on, we hear Miss Liberty on the Railroad Hour. But right now, the Gulf Screen Guild Theater with an adaptation of Babes in Arms. It first opened at the Schubert Theater in New York in April of 1937, and after moving to the Majestic, it ran for 289 performances. In this radio adaptation, we hear a motion picture version of that play with its original film stars Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland from November 9, 1941 on CBS.
This is Judy Garland.
And Mickey Rooney.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Presenting tonight, Babes in Arms. And here is your host, the director of the Star's own theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. The Gulf Oil Companies and your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer welcome you to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. That music you hear is Oscar Bradley's introduction for Babes in Arms with those two great young stars, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. Mickey and Judy portray Mickey Moran and Patsy Barton, respectively. Two youngsters who can't stay away from the theater and can't stay away from music. As a matter of fact, that's Patsy you hear singing right now. And that's Mickey playing his latest composition at the piano. Know where they are? In the offices of the Schuyler Music Publishing Company. Yes, sir, playing Mickey's tune for Mr. John Schuyler himself. Let's peek in and see how they come out, shall we?
Give a smile, give a cheer for your land. Where smiles are broader, freedom greater. Let every man thank his own creator. Hi there, Yankee. Give up with a great big thank you. You're in God, God's country.
That's it, Mr. Schuyler. Well, what do you think?
Where'd you swipe that tune, Mickey?
Quit kidding. Words and music by Mickey Moran. Why, it'll sweep the country. Won't it?
Sure it will. It's a surefire hit, Mr. Schuyler.
Mickey, I'll give you $100 for it.
$100? Mickey, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Don't you understand? He's going to publish your song.
Yeah.
Gosh. Hey, what's the matter with him?
He's fainted. It was just too much for him, Mr. Schuyler.
Well, I think they did all right there, don't you? Of course, it isn't millions yet, and it isn't Broadway. But then it ain't hay either. Personally, I'm betting on Patsy and Mickey. We'll follow the checkered career of these young hopefuls just as soon as we check on something Mr. Heaston has on his mind. All right, bud?
Get the jump on winter. That's the sign you'll be seeing soon at your Good Gulf dealers. And it's mighty good advice for you motorists who live where frost and icicles and slow starts will soon be bothering you again. It's good advice for many folks who live further south, too.
Thanks, bud. And now let's go to the city park, where we find Mickey and Patsy walking home from the music publishing company.
Pay to the order of Michael Moran.
Let's sit down and rest a minute, Mickey. It's such a long walk from that bus. Mickey?
Huh? Oh, sure. Gee, I'm sorry. Gosh, my first $100.
And that's just the beginning.
I'll say it is, because you know what this means? Now I can produce my show.
You mean on a real stage with an orchestra and people out in front who pay to get in?
Sure. I can rent that summer stock theater for $25.
But won't the costumes and scenery take an awful lot?
Yeah, but I'll go easy on big effects. Of course, I got to get a swell big sign with your name on it, so it'll be out in front. After all, you'll be the singing star, you know.
Mickey, you mean you'll put my name right out in front of the theater?
Sure. It'll read, Michael Moran presents Michael Moran and Michael Moran's Great Music Review, directed by Michael Moran, with Patsy Barton.
Oh, gosh, I never expected. I never dreamed.
Oh, gosh,
I'll work hard for you, Mickey. Honest, I will.
Thanks, Pat. I feel like I ought to buy you a swell present out of this $100, but...
Yeah, I know. But this show will mean a lot to both of us if it goes over, and it will, Mickey. I know it will.
I hope so, but... I do want to show my appreciation for Wilford spurring me on and making me think I'm good. Look, would you like to wear this?
Your music class pin? Oh, Mickey.
Yeah, I think it's gold. I've had it almost a year and it hasn't turned green yet. Here, you can have it, Pat.
see. Well, is that all?
Well, what do you want me to say?
You know what I want you to say.
Well, I won't say it.
All right, then don't. You take your old pill.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute,
no,
Patsy,
I'm going
please.
Home.
But I do, Patsy. Wait.
Do what?
I do what you want me to say, and I won't. Very much.
Well, then.
Oh, all right. There. Now are you satisfied? Come on, let's go.
What'll it be, kids? The banana specials is extra special today.
Two root beers, small ones, too, huh?
Two small root beers.
Hey, Mickey, the rehearsals are going fine.
Yeah, but the bankroll isn't. If I just had something I could hawk, or I could only run into an angel.
You mean as a special attraction for the show?
No.
An angel would be a novelty.
No, not that kind of an angel, Pat. I mean a backer, somebody who'd put some dough into the show. Harry Maddox always has one.
You mean the big Broadway producer?
Yeah. Oh, I wonder where he gets them.
I don't know, but you could call Mr. Maddox up and ask him. He might have an angel he wasn't using this season, or one that wasn't a full-time angel, just a cherub.
You can wait for us, Peter. We won't be long.
Hey, pipe that.
That's Baby Rosalie. Remember, she used to be the kid movie star.
Oh, Jess, isn't this quaint?
She acts like she believes her own publicity.
Yeah.
Such a delightful place. Of course, in California, we have drive-ins. You sit in your car and eat.
Well, in Freeport, all we've got's a drugstore. Hello, Patsy.
Hello.
I want you to meet a friend of mine, Miss Barton. This is Miss Essex. What's famous is Baby Rosalie.
How do you do, Miss Essex? I remember you very well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see me in my biggest success, The Queen's Little Daughter? Or did you see my smash hit, The Baby General?
Oh, well, let me see.
Oh, dear me, it all seems so long ago. Jeff tells me you're going to produce a show.
Oh, I'm not. Mickey is. This is Mickey Moran.
Howdy.
Charmed, I'm sure. Do you think you might have anything for me in your show?
You mean that you'd really like to...
Oh, but of course. I'm dying to get back in harness.
Well, this isn't exactly a horse show, but we could use you fine. Why, with your name, we'll be able to... Well, oh, boy.
I imagine some of the lines will have to be rewritten to fit my personality.
Huh?
Who's the author?
I am. I wrote the whole show myself.
Oh, that's wonderful. Suppose we go up to my house right now and talk it over alone.
Okay. Swell. You'll excuse us, of course, Pat.
Oh, of course.
Bye.
Goodbye. I'm positively excited about this production, Mr. Moran, and with your ability and my father.
Oh, how could we miss? With his ability and her following. Did you hear that?
Yeah. She's kind of pretty, isn't she?
Look at her cuddle up to him in that back seat.
Oh, well, Mickey's just being nice to her for business reasons, I hope.
Well, there they go. How about a drink, Pat?
Yeah. I kind of feel like I need a drink.
And so do I. What'll it be?
I'll have a Coke. No. From now on, I'm going to live dangerously. I'll have a double Coke with lemon.
That's murder. What's the matter with you violins there? Do you forget to turn the page or what? Come on, pay attention. Now, let's try it once again. From number 8, here we go. Come on.
Hello, Mickey.
Hello, Pat.
I've been practicing till I'm nearly hoarse. Gosh, isn't it going to be wonderful?
Yeah, I guess so. Only, look, Pat, I've got to talk to you. Keep going, will you, fellas? Here, Pat, let's go into this dressing room over here.
All right. Go right ahead. I'm listening.
Well, I had sort of a conference with Baby Rosalie yesterday.
Yes, I know. Very close conference. From what I could see as you drove off.
Oh, she doesn't mean a thing to me. Honest, she don't. But I'm in an awful spot, Patsy. As I told you, I just got to have some money to put this show on. I just got to have an angel.
I see. Baby Rosalie is flying in on the beam.
Well, she's got $280.
Oh, gee, it's a lot of money. Well, what about her father? He never lets her do anything with us kids.
Well, her father's out of town.
Well, then everything's swell, isn't it?
You're not mad with me?
Of course not.
That's good. Because there's something else I've got to tell you. You see, it's this way. Baby Rosalie won't put in her money unless we let her play the lead.
Oh, well, of course you've got to let her... the lead. You mean... you want her to sing my song? The songs you wrote for me and say my lines?
Oh, gee, Patsy.
Yeah, but we were going to do this together.
I know.
You and me, Mickey. It was going to be our first show.
I know, Patsy. But listen, if you're going to cry, I'm just going to call the whole thing off. I don't...
Who's crying? Don't be silly.
Pat, would you punch me right in the nose if I ask you to understudy?
Catherine Cornell did it, didn't she? I should be proud. The show has to go on, doesn't it? Come on, let's go and meet the new star.
Only an hour and a half, that's all.
I'm so sorry. I do hope everybody will forgive me.
Well, let's get started with the rehearsal. We'll take that comedy scene first. Don, have you met Miss Essex?
No. How do you do, Miss Essex?
Well, I must speak to my agent about you.
Oh, gee, thanks.
My, it's so very close today.
Yes, it is sultry. Can I get you a drink of water?
Oh, thank you, my dear. Isn't she a sweet little girl?
Huh? Who, Pat? Oh, sure. Okay, let's take that Anthony and Cleopatra sketch. You, Don, Miss Essex.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
Now, look. this space is Cleopatra's throne room, a very luxurious layout overlooking the Nile.
Mm-hmm.
These two chairs are a swell divan covered with satin cushion, an ostrich feathers, and probably a lot of pearls and things like
goodness.
That. And now, Don, you come in and stop, you see. Just looking at Baby Rosalie, who's reclining on the divan. Would you recline, please, Miss Essex?
But don't I have any cushions?
Tomorrow, Miss Essex.
Oh.
Okay, Don, let's go. Everybody get ready. Curtain!
Your Majesty.
Ah, Mark Antony. Welcome to Egypt, land of mystery. We have a superb palace, a magnificent museum, a terrific climate, and on a clear day, you can see the Sphinx.
Ah, Cleopatra. I have a feeling I will find Egypt fascinating.
Wait a minute. Terrible, Don. Terrible.
Huh?
Oh, that's an awful way to kiss.
I didn't think so.
Don, the way you speak the lines, everything, I don't know. There's no feeling. I want you to try a more virile approach, like Clark Gable.
Oh, Gable and I work differently.
Yeah. That's why he works more often. That's what we need, that Gable quality. Look, I'll show you. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Stand over there, will you?
Well, Cleo... you've stole me around here for the last time. Nobody could push Mark Antony around, see? Last month I took over the south side, and now I'm taking over the palace. Now, what's more important, I'm taking over you, see?
Quiet, come on, quiet.
Hey, what's going on here? Cleopatra, who is this man?
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Moran.
I forgot to tell you, this is your Uncle Crevus.
Oh, but Cleopatra didn't have an uncle.
She has now.
Hey, should I keep on going, Mickey, while I'm still hot?
Hot? You're as cold as yesterday's oatmeal. I want the uncle to be a violent character, like Lionel Barrymore. Here, like this. Young man, we don't like strangers around this palace. I'll give you just 48 hours to get out.
All right. But she loves me, see? Then when I go, Cleo goes with me.
No, just a moment. Cleo stays here.
But Cleo's leaving with me, I tell you.
Now, just a moment. Who's Cleo? Who's Cleo? I'm Cleo. Cleo, where are all... never mind.
Gentlemen, don't fight over me.
Well, that's it. That's the idea. You know what I mean?
Come on. Come on, Mark Antony. Finish the scene. Kiss her.
Yeah. Sure. Anything to oblige.
Darling.
Wait. Hey, you mean I've got to kiss her like that?
Well, maybe it won't be necessary, Don. Come to think of it, maybe I'll play this part myself.
Oh, what's that?
It could be the thermometer, but I think it was Pat. Looks like she dropped your glass of water.
This bus for New York makes all connections north and west. Show your tickets, please.
Patsy! Patsy! Gee,
Patsy, I just found out.
Well, you needn't bother.
Patsy, wait. I got to talk to you. Just listen. You're acting like a baby, just a great big baby.
I am not a baby, Mr. Moran.
Then why are you going away?
Well, I'm going to visit my aunt upstate.
Gee, Patsy, whatever I've done, it's because I had to.
Did you have to kiss baby Rosalie like that?
It's part of my business. I'm a director.
Well, you better get back to work, Mr. Ziegfeld. The Girl Scouts are just clamoring for you.
But, Patsy, look, will you?
Here, you'll probably want your pin back, too.
Patsy.
Indian giver!
Patsy, wait a... Wait a minute, Patsy!
I hope you're sorry. Don't forget your line.
Wait a minute. We got to make those folks out there glad that they came and make them happy they spent their dough. Okay, that's all. Good luck to you all, kids.
Hey, Mickey. Yeah. Make more thunder. You think it's going to rain?
How should I know? I'm a producer, not a weatherman.
Yes, but Michael, we've got an outdoor theater.
I'll build you a clothesline when I find the time. Say, how do you feel?
A little nervous.
Me too, but you got to be great tonight, see? You go out there and sell your song to all those people.
Get out of my way.
Hey, who is that?
Mickey, that's my father.
Oh, so there you are. Where is this Michael Moran?
Right here, sir.
So, you're the little twerp that's going to explode the prestige of an important name, huh? It's lucky I got back in time.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Essex.
Not
I
a
would
minute.
Just...
Rosalie, you're getting out of here.
Oh, but father.
But she's the star of the show.
Don't make me laugh. She gets $4,000 a week.
I know, but you can't just take her away like that.
Father, honest, I've got a great part.
I'll tell you when you've got a great part. Now, come along, Essex.
Wait a minute. Will you please, kids, just give me a chance. Let me think. Mickey, look. Patsy.
I may be a sap about the men I pick, but I'm not a quitter. Our family are troopers. We don't walk out on anybody's show.
Who said anything about... Listen, Patsy, you're back in the lead. I wrote this show for you. Now go out there and show them that I wasn't crazy when I did it.
You really mean I'm going to... Oh, gee, Mickey, you're...
Never mind, I know. I'm an Indian giver. Now go on and get out there, will you? Please, says everybody. Here we go.
I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me. Every road has its you're learning. I cry for you. What a fool I used to be. But I'll find two eyes just a little bit blue. And just a little bit true. I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me. I'll find two eyes just a little bit truer, and I'll find a heart just a little bit truer. I cried for you.
Oh.
Oh, Patsy, you were terrific.
Was it really all right, Mickey?
You saved the show, that's all. Now that we've got the curtain up and the show started, there's nothing can stop us.
Gosh, Mickey, it looks like rain.
What's the difference? We've got a show. Who cares about a little rain? There's just no luck in the Moran family, Pat.
Well, anyway, it took a hurricane to stop you, Mickey.
Yeah.
And at least we got through the first number. It was swell while it lasted.
Sure, but what do we do now? Our money's gone, our costumes are spoiled, and our scenery was last sighted sailing over Connecticut.
Well, at least this old dressing room is dry. Besides, I can still sing, and you can still write songs.
Maybe I can't. Maybe I got this kick in the pants because I was too big for my britches. I guess I better forget about being a big producer and get myself a job. I'm through with show business.
No, you mustn't say that. We've got to make those things come true that we've always talked about. Our name in lights on Broadway. Making people laugh and cry and applaud. You can't give up, Mickey.
Pardon me for interrupting, but I think she's just right, Mickey.
Huh? What?
I think you're much too young to retire, and I'd like to make you a little proposition.
say, look, if I owe you money for something I bought for the show...
No, nothing like that. My name is Maddox, Henry Maddox.
You mean... You can't mean you're the Mr. Maddox?
The Broadway producer?
That's right. I came down to see your show tonight. It was the first time I was ever drowned and liked it.
Do you mean that, Mr. Maddox?
Yes, and it gave me a great idea, too. I'd like to try your show on Broadway. The old street needs new faces, and I think your show would just hit the spot.
Mickey! Mickey, did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
He wants our show on Broadway.
Yeah.
Our show, and you and me, Mickey, together.
Yeah. Gosh.
Hey, what's the matter with him?
Oh, he always faints when he's surprised, Mr. Maddox. But don't worry. I promise you he'll be all right for opening night.
Gosh, Patsy, us in a real Broadway show.
And it's a hit, Mickey, a smash hit. Listen to that applause.
Pat.
What?
Would you like to wear this again?
Gosh,
And if you want me to say what I...
Oh, Mickey, quick, we're on.
Huh? Oh, but I love you.
Mickey, you said it.
Gosh, I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
If your point of view is drab, take a quick vacation.
Sell your car with good Gulf gas and drive around the nation.
Leave your troubles all behind, dust off your machinery.
Sweep the cobwebs off your mind, view this nation's scenery.
Turn your faces to the east, watch a lovely sunrise. Fill your soul with morning sun, there is work that must be done. You will find it lots more fun if you stand up and sing. Hi there, neighbor, going my way. East or west from the Lincoln Highway.
Hi there, Yankee, give out with a great big thank you.
You're in God's country.
Where grass is greener, timber taller.
Mountains bigger and troubles smaller.
Hi there, Chappie, you ought to be gay and happy.
You're in God's country.
100 million rooters can't be wrong.
Give a hand.
Give a smile.
Give a cheer for your land. Where smiles are broader, freedom greater.
Let every man thank his own creator.
Thank you,
you're in God. Mickey and Judy, that was a terrific finish to a splendid show, Babes in Arms. And I know that our listeners are all eager to see your new Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, Babes on Broadway. That applause you hear is a barometer of the enthusiasm of our listeners, not only for your performances, but for your generosity in donating your appearances tonight so that Gulf could give the money you would ordinarily receive to the Motion Picture Relief Fund. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a word about next week's show. Next week, we'll present the most thrilling, most popular, most dramatic...
Hey, Raj, wait just a minute. What's cooking with all the fancy talk, huh?
Shh, Mickey, I'm announcing next week's show.
Friend, you're overly verbose.
Well, yeah, but I got to give our listeners a build-up. We want them to be sure not to miss next week's program.
Tut-tut, too many words, friend. What you need is a lesson in MC.
Well, now, that could be, Mickey, could be. How would you announce next week's show?
Well, I'd simply say, ladies and gentlemen, next week, the Gulf Screen Guild Theater presents Cary Grant and Irene Dunne in Penny's Serenade. Yes, sir, a grand show. And that's all I'd say, Roger, because building up something that it's already in a class by itself is sort of gilding the lily. Friend, it's gilding the lily.
Mickey, my son, you're definitely right, which leaves me nothing more to say except the old crew will be back at the same stand next week. Oscar Bradley, assisted by Frank Tours, Bud Heaston, and yours truly, when Gulf presents the screen hit of the year, Penny's Serenade, starring Cary Grant and Irene Dunne. Mark it down as a date with us, will you?
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 9th, 1941, on CBS, adapting the Rodgers and Hart musical Babes in Arms, which was turned into a film in 1939 and actually turned out to be MGM Studios' biggest moneymaker of that year, even beating another musical picture they put out that year, The Wizard of Oz. It's an hour of Broadway, on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVunier. And now Gordon McRae stars on the Railroad Hour in an adaptation of Miss Liberty, which opened at the Imperial Theater in July of 1949 and ran for 308 performances. This NBC broadcast from February 9, 1953.
And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the great Irving Berlin musical, Miss Liberty, starring Gordon McRae and his bright young guest, Virginia Haskins. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight, another memorable musical play is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marlon Miller. Good evening, everybody. Virginia Haskins and I want you to come to New York with us. In the days before there was a Statue of Liberty in the harbor, when the streets were lit with gas lamps and when the streetcars all had horses prancing out in front of them. But when you really wanted to get someplace in style, you said,
let's take an old-fashioned walk. I'm just bursting with thought. What a tale could be told if we went for an old-fashioned walk. Let's take a stroll through the park, down a lane where it's dark, and a heart that's controlled may relax on an old-fashioned walk. I know for a couple who seem to be miles apart, there's nothing like walking and having a heart-to-heart. I know a girl who declined, couldn't make up her mind. She was wrapped up in soul, coming home from an old-fashioned walk.
Say there, young fella.
Yes, sir.
Are you a photographer?
Horace Miller and Cam Ratcher Service. We're from Prender's Falls, Indiana.
Well, I'm a newspaper publisher, and my photographer didn't show up to cover the big shindigs at the City Hall.
Oh, I've already got a newspaper job working for Mr. Bennett on the New York Herald.
I'm Mr. Bennett of the Herald.
Huh?
You must be my photographer who didn't show up.
Well, I was there, Mr. Bennett, but I didn't see much to photograph. Just the mayor and a lot of celebrities.
Just the mayor.
Say, I got a real picture. The first photograph of the Statue of Liberty, fresh off the boat from France.
Let me see that picture. Huh. Why, this is just a lot of packing cases.
Well, how do you expect they got the Statue of Liberty across the Atlantic? She didn't swim.
If she had, you'd have missed the picture. You're fired, Miller.
Fire?
I don't ever want to see your face again.
Oh, gee whiz. Fired. My first day. I'm sorry I ever came to New York City. I guess I should have stayed in Fender's Falls.
A little fish in a big pond has plenty of room to swim. But swimming around our big fish, all ready to pounce on him. Back to his little pond, he starts to roam. The little fish spreads his fins and begins to swim back home. That's me, a little fish in a big pond, all wrong. That's me, a little fish where a little fish don't belong. A little man in a big town gets butterflies in his dome. I'm ready to spread my fins and begin to swim back home to the little pond.
To the little pond.
Where a little fish.
Where a little fish.
And a little man.
Little man.
Belong.
No, by golly. I can't go back home to Prentice Falls until I've done something important and worthwhile. Hey, does anybody know how much it costs to take a boat to Paris? This little fish sure took himself a big swim. Say, who's that singing?
Very pretty, my child. You know the acoustics underneath this bridge are better than the National Opera.
I know, Grandmother. But wouldn't it be nice if we could have a house to live in?
What's wrong with living under bridges? We have a view, plenty of fresh air, running water.
Just the same, wouldn't it be nice to have a home? And, oh, Grandmama, I'd love to do what all the American girls want to do.
And what is that?
Homeward. I want to do homeward. Instead of an office, I want to work home. Stay at home and crochet. Kitchen, to be in their kitchen, that's the thing I'm longing to do. To be there learning when a steak meat's turning and just what goes into a stew. Homework, I want to do homework. A genius who sits and plans with pots and pans at home. A genius who bakes a pie that keeps the guy out.
Dear Monique, I think the time has come for you to say the magic word.
The magic word?
But it must only be used on an American, preferably from the USA.
What is the magic word, Grandma?
The magic word is...
Yes.
Say yes to the right American, and all our troubles will be over. Well, I better go out and peddle my flowers. Remember what I told you, child?
Only the magic word.
Well, hello there. What's the matter? Can't you talk?
Yes.
Say, you're a French girl, aren't you?
Yes.
I guess you'd probably guess that I was an American. I guess.
Yes.
Gee whiz, you're pretty.
Yes?
Would you like to know what I came over to Paris for?
Yes.
I'm looking for the girl who posed for the Statue of Liberty.
Yes?
You wouldn't know who she was by any chance?
Yes.
Say, it wouldn't be you by any chance.
Oh, yes.
Well, holy Toledo. Talk about lucky. I find the girl I'm looking for right off the bat. Hey, can I take your picture?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Now stand just like you did for the statue. One arm up in the air. Ah, that's it. And this book in the crook of your elbow.
Yes.
Good. Now, watch the birdie. Oh, boy, this is historic. Oh, wait till Mr. Bennett sees this. Straight cablegram to Mr. James Gordon Bennett, New York Herald. Have found the girl who posed for Statue of Liberty. Send $1,000
at once to bring her to America. Greatest publicity since Stanley found Livingstone. Signed, Horace Miller. Now, who the deuce is Horace Miller? No matter. If it's true, it'll double my circulation. Clerk, cable $500 to bring Miss Liberty to America.
Miss Liberty?
Are you calling me?
Oh, gosh, gee whiz. For a minute, I was afraid you changed bridges.
Monique, who is this improbable young man?
Here's your boat ticket to America.
America?
Grandmother has to come, too.
Well, okay, I'll get a ticket for her, too.
Monique, how did this happen?
The magic word. I just said yes.
But what in blazes did he ask? Did he ask you?
Well, do you want me to explain why I'm doing all this?
Pray do.
Why are you being so sweet to me and to my grandmother?
Well, you see, in America, we do everything fast. Why, we even fall in love in a hurry.
Oh, I love you. There's no other way, just one way to say I love you. I may, that's all I can say. I love you.
Much more could be said.
aboard, Miss Liberty. America, here we come.
Monique, why does your nice young man keep calling you Miss Liberty?
Oh, Horace thinks I'm the girl who modeled for the Statue of Liberty.
Modeled for the...
Why, Grandmama, what's the matter?
When he finds out the truth, I just wonder if he'll still want to sing that song.
Much more could be said if I thought with my head, but I only can think with my heart. Some evening with the Astors.
She'd love to.
Would you like to play a week at Tony Pastor's?
She'd love to.
Would you like to come to Trinity on Sunday?
She'd love to.
Would you like to launch a battleship on Monday?
She'd love to. Here's some market fresh with you from the president to you.
Here's some winter flannels from the nation's mother.
Here's a ticket for a ball. You'll be welcome at the hall. Here's a cough drop from the famous bearded brother.
I thank you, I thank you. I'm grateful to be sure. Like money in the bank, you have made me feel secure. Your Congress, your Senate, your President, so dear. But mostly Mr. Bennett, the man who brought me here.
Liberty, Miss Liberty. With banners and streamers unfurled, you're not just a symbol of a statue that we love, but the most beautiful girl in the world.
Miss Liberty, let me welcome you to our shores. I'm James Gordon Bennett, publisher of the New York Herald.
Be nice to him, Mike. He's paid for your trip.
Oh, dear Mr. Bennett, I'm charmed. Have you met my grandmother, the Countess Dupont?
I'm honored, Your Ladyship.
I hope you stay that way.
Speech, Miss Liberty.
Yes, speech!
Please, please, Miss Liberty. Will you favor us with a speech?
Well, I simply love New York, and I'm so glad to be here. But I think there's just one teensy-weensy thing that I ought to explain to you.
Monique.
What is it, Grandmama?
There's a new magic word. Shut up.
Monique, you're wonderful. You know, all of New York is in love with you.
Well, I don't care about all of New York. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel fine. And you know, Mr. Bennett not only hired me back in his paper, he gave me a $2 raise.
Congratulations, Horace.
Why, if this keeps up in 50 years, I could be editor of the paper. And just think, if I hadn't discovered you, I might have gone back to Prentice Falls and never amounted to nothing.
Oh, you know what you are?
What?
A little fish in a big pond has got to have lots of heart. For swimming around are big fish, what if he's the least bit smart? Back to his little pond, he doesn't go. The little fish spreads his fins and begins to grow, grow, grow. That's you, a little fish in a big pond, all right. Me too, a little fish, but we gotta stand up and fight. A little man in a big town don't have to get out and roam. Stop taking it on the chin and soon begin to feel at home in the bigger pond, where the bigger fish and the bigger men belong.
Yep, I guess I'm a pretty big fish now.
You!
Oh, hello there, J.G. How's Trick?
You scoundrel! You buffoon! You nitwit! You scapegrace of a nincompoop!
Something the matter, Mr. Bennett?
Miss Liberty, may I ask how old you are?
Why, I'm 23.
The New York World, my chief competitor, says you're a fraud.
What?
It seems the statue was carved more than 20 years ago. May I inquire, mademoiselle, if you pose for it in your cradle?
Oh, I didn't pose for the Statue of Liberty.
You didn't?
No.
But you said you did.
Oh, no, you said I did. And I just didn't say I didn't.
Young lady, you and the so-called countess will be shipped out of the country on the next boat.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Bennett. You can't do that.
Can't I? Why don't you go down to the Bureau of Immigration to see him off?
Reporting passengers, prepare to board ship.
Please don't be sad, Grandmama. Who's sad? I'm surprised we got away with it as long as we did.
Countess, Monique, are they really going to deport you?
Any minute. The boat's almost ready to sail.
Well, it isn't right. Even if you didn't pose for the statue, you're still Miss Liberty. Then how can we send Miss Liberty away from the United States? It's all wrong. Well, you know what it says on the base of the new statue.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Look, if we get married, you'll be an American citizen. And they can't deport you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, but what about Grandmama?
Don't worry. I'll get back in. Nobody can say I was too young to pose for the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, money. You know, I'll take you back to Prentice Falls. Of course, I don't have any money, so I don't know how we'll get there.
I know her. Let's take an old-fashioned walk. I'm just bursting with song. What a tale could be told if we went for an old-fashioned walk.
Let's take a stroll through the park, down a lane where it's dark, and a heart that's controlled may relax on an old-fashioned walk.
I know for a couple who seem to be miles apart,
mine. She was wrapped up in souls and went home from an old-fashioned walk.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely Virginia Haskins will be back in just a moment. And our hearty thanks to Hanley Stafford, who was Mr. Bennett, Miss Gloria Gordon, who was the Countess, and to our entire company. Miss Liberty, with music by Irving Berlin and book and lyrics by Robert E. Sherwood, was dramatized for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this same time by the American Railroads.
The Railroad Hour, from February 9th, 1953, on NBC. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of Broadway on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.